Welcome to our deep dive. You guys sent in some really fascinating stuff. This OpenAI economic blueprint is especially interesting.
Oh yeah, for sure.
They basically mapped out America's role in like this whole AI revolution, right?
Yeah, that's what's so interesting about it. It's like OpenAI isn't just talking about like the technology,
Yeah,
you know.
right.
They're laying out this whole vision for how AI can change America, like everything from the money it could bring to the global competition we're up against.
Okay, so let's get into their vision. They start with like a pretty optimistic view, right? Like what AI could do. They think AI can actually benefit everyone. They're talking about like tackling the biggest challenges humanity's facing.
Yeah. It's interesting how they don't just like say that, you know, like their mission to benefit everyone.
Right.
They give specific examples of how their tools, their AI tools, are already making a difference.
Oh, cool.
Like speeding up new medicines, you know, life-saving treatments.
Right.
Speeding up research in our national labs.
Yeah.
Even helping teachers personalize lesson plans.
Wow. So they're really showing, like, the real-world impact, right?
Exactly.
Like, it's not just some theoretical or, like, way-off-in-the-future thing. It's like, look, this is happening right now, and it's doing some good.
Exactly. And the examples they use are interesting.
Yeah.
It's like they're showcasing a bunch of different areas AI can be used. Like, even protecting soldiers from drone attacks, or like helping artists create totally new stuff, new kinds of art.
Wow.
Even like making the government work better. It seems like they want to show the wide impact of AI on society, not just what it can do technically.
Right. So it's like they're kind of anticipating people who are maybe a little skeptical, like, hold on, is this for real? And they're saying, here's the proof, AI is already making things better.
Yeah, exactly. And then they take it even further.
Oh, yeah.
Sam Altman, he's the CEO of OpenAI. He talks about the future, where AI helps our kids do things we can't even imagine. Like, it leads to a better quality of life for everybody. It's a big, bold vision, but they seem pretty serious about making it happen.
Okay, so they've laid out the good stuff.
Yeah.
But what about the challenges? What about the concerns? Like, people are worried about AI.
Right.
How do they address that?
Well, you know, they say we can learn from history.
Okay.
They use this analogy about cars.
Okay.
And how back in the day in the UK, there was this thing called the Red Flag Act, 1865.
Okay.
And it really held back the car industry.
Hmm.
So their point is we shouldn't make the same mistakes.
Yeah.
We got to find a balance, right,
yeah,
between encouraging these new ideas and dealing with the real concerns people have.
That makes sense. But how do we find that balance, right?
Right. Well, they say America needs to work together like it did with cars. Like, instead of slowing things down with too many rules, they say combine that private sector energy with some government support.
Right. Okay. So encourage the innovation, but make sure it's safe and used responsibly. But they're really into the global competition thing, too, right? Like, especially with China.
Yeah. They're very clear about that.
Yeah.
This is a race the U.S. has got to win. And not just for the money, but for national security.
Yeah.
They even mentioned there's like $175 billion out there globally waiting to be invested in AI projects.
Yeah.
And the U.S. needs to get that money.
Yeah.
To stay on top. Otherwise, it'll go to projects backed by China.
Right. So it's about, like, who is the leader economically?
Yeah.
And national security, too. But then they bring up this idea of democratic AI. What is that?
Well, they believe that developing AI shouldn't be like a winner-take-all thing, you know?
Right, right.
They want the rules to be based on democratic values, like a free market where everyone has a chance.
Uh-huh.
And protecting people's freedom, both the people who create AI and the people who use it, and making sure governments don't use AI to control people or force them to do stuff.
Okay, so it's about making sure AI is developed and used in a way that fits with democratic ideas. Not just who has the best technology, but how it's used and who benefits.
Exactly. And this connects to their worries about frontier models, which are these super advanced large language models. They know that this level of power comes with risks, that we need strong security measures in place.
Right. So they're not ignoring the risks, but how do we manage those risks while still letting people innovate?
Right. Right. It's a tough balance.
Yeah.
Well, they think there needs to be like a multi-pronged approach.
Okay.
First, they say national competitiveness is key. The U.S. has to be the leader in AI.
Right.
Second, they say we need best practices for using these models safely.
Okay.
Protecting against misuse and, like, spying.
So it's not just about building powerful AI, but building it responsibly.
Right. Making sure it's used for good.
Exactly.
And they also say that our export policies should let us share AI with our allies, but limit access for our rivals.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, they warn against having a bunch of different state and international regulations that could actually hurt the U.S.
Right. They're saying we need a national strategy, not just a bunch of different rules everywhere.
Exactly. But they're not just talking about security, right? They also say it's important to build trust, make sure AI is used responsibly.
Yeah.
They call it establishing the rules of the road.
Okay, rules of the road. I like that. So they're saying the more people use American-made AI, the more trust it'll build.
Right.
And that creates a kind of momentum.
Exactly. A sort of flywheel effect.
Okay.
More trust, more people use it, more innovation, more benefits. It's like a good cycle.
But to get that cycle going, they need to get these rules of the road right from the start. What kind of rules are they talking about?
Well, they say people need to feel confident about things like child safety protections.
Okay.
And being transparent about where the AI content comes from, like its origin.
Right.
They call it provenance.
Provenance. Okay.
And also giving users control and options for personalization.
So people feel like they have some say in how AI affects them.
Exactly.
Mm.
It's interesting, too, how they talk about states being like laboratories of democracy.
Oh, yeah, right.
They want to encourage states to try out AI solutions for their local problems. And that could also help those local AI ecosystems grow.
Yeah. That's a cool idea. Like, give states the flexibility to find their own solutions, you know, what works best for them.
Right, exactly.
Like a bottom-up approach instead of top-down.
Yeah, yeah. But they also say individual responsibility is important, too, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like, using AI comes with responsibilities.
Uh-huh.
Users need to understand and follow the rules
right.
to make sure everyone stays safe and everyone benefits.
So it's like a two-way street. The developers, the policymakers, and the users, we're all in this together.
Right, exactly. It's a partnership.
Okay, so we talked about the potential of AI, you know, the need to develop it responsibly, the global competition, and even the rules of the road. But they also get into this whole thing about infrastructure.
Right.
They even call it infrastructure as destiny.
Yeah, infrastructure as destiny.
What do they mean by that?
Well, they say that building, like, a really strong AI infrastructure, it's not just about keeping up with China.
Right.
It's a chance for the U.S. to, like, bring back its industries, revitalize them, like, really rebuild its industrial base.
Okay.
They're talking about the things you absolutely need for the AI era.
Like what?
Chips, data, energy, and talented people.
So investing in the basics, the foundations that'll let AI really take off.
Right.
But what are the challenges to building this infrastructure?
Well, they say that the demand for these resources is already bigger than the supply.
Oh, wow.
And they're worried that, like, if we don't do something fast, all the global investment will go to China.
Yeah, right.
And then there's this really tough issue of intellectual property.
Right.
Like, how do we protect the people who create things, but also let AI learn from the data that's out there?
Yeah, that's a tough one. So what are their solutions? How do we actually build this AI infrastructure?
They have a pretty detailed plan, actually.
Oh, cool.
First, they say it's important to make sure AI can learn from information that's publicly available.
Hmm.
Just like humans do, right?
Right.
We learn from books, articles, or experiences. Mm. AI needs similar data to get better.
Yeah, makes sense. But how do we protect those creators?
Right.
Yeah. Like copyright laws and intellectual property, that's important.
Exactly. They talk about that directly.
Oh, yeah.
They say we need a system where AI can learn from all this public information.
Uh-huh.
But it also protects creators from having their work copied digitally without permission.
Okay, that's a tough balance. So finding a way for AI to learn and grow without stopping human creativity. What other infrastructure stuff do they talk about?
Well, they have this idea of digitizing all the government data that's still on paper.
Oh, wow.
Like files and records stuck in archives.
Uh-huh.
Make it so computers can read it.
Okay.
That would unlock a ton of information for AI developers.
That's a cool idea. But what's in it for the government? Like, why would they do all that work to digitize all that stuff?
Well, OpenAI says it could be a win-win.
Okay.
Like, yeah. In exchange for access to this data, developers could help the government find new insights.
Right.
Help them make better policies.
So it's not just about giving AI data. It's about using AI to help everyone. It's a partnership, right?
Right.
Speaking of partnerships, they mentioned something called a compact for AI.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's like an agreement they want between the U.S. and its allies to make it easier to get money and resources for AI infrastructure.
Okay.
Like working together to help democratic AI ecosystems all over the world.
Right. So working with countries that have the same values, right?
Exactly.
And maybe even like counterbalancing China's influence in AI.
Right. Exactly. And this compact would also mean agreeing on security standards.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, eventually it could include a whole global network of U.S. allies and partners.
Wow. That's a pretty big vision for international cooperation on AI. What other interesting ideas do they have?
Well, they suggest setting up these things called AI economic zones.
AI economic zone.
Yeah. They would be like zones created by local, state, and federal governments working with industry.
Okay.
And the goal would be to speed up the whole process of getting permits for AI projects.
So like cutting through all the red tape, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Making
yeah.
it easier to build the stuff we need for AI.
Right. Think about how long it takes to get permits for things like solar farms or wind farms.
Right, right.
Or even nuclear power plants.
Yeah.
These zones would be designed to streamline all of that to make it faster and easier to build the infrastructure we need to power AI development.
Right. It sounds like they've really thought about the practical stuff.
Uh-huh.
But infrastructure is only one piece of the puzzle. We need skilled people too, right?
Yeah.
To build and manage all this technology.
Yeah. Right. They talk about building the AI workforce. You see, it's super important to have skilled people.
Okay.
They think we should align AI research labs and training programs with the industries that are important in each region.
Right.
And they have this really interesting idea about compute power.
Yeah, you mentioned compute power before. What is that exactly? And why is it so important for training the next generation of, you know, AI experts?
Well, compute power is just the processing power of computers. Like how fast they can crunch numbers, how much they can handle. Yeah. It's kind of like the horsepower behind AI.
Uh-huh.
And by giving universities access to really powerful computers, AI companies can give students the experience they need to work with the latest technology.
Right. So it's like if you want to train chefs, you give them a professional kitchen.
Yeah, exactly. Give them the best tools to learn with. But it's not just about the technical stuff, right?
Right.
They also talk about having a national strategy for AI education.
Yeah, so it's not just training, like AI specialists,
yeah.
Right? It's about getting everyone ready for a world where AI is everywhere.
Exactly. Equipping everyone with the skills and knowledge to navigate this AI-driven world, they suggest a lot of different things, like more money for pilot programs, putting AI education in the school budgets, and training for teachers and workers.
So they're thinking about all levels of education, right?
Okay.
From K through 12 to college, and even retraining people who are already working.
Right. It's a really comprehensive approach. But they also talk about pushing the limits of AI research.
Yeah. How does that fit into their plan?
They propose investing in national research infrastructure, like giving scientists, innovators, and educators access to the computing power and data they need to make real progress in AI.
They specifically mentioned this thing called the National AI Research Resource.
Yeah.
What would that be?
Like, imagine a central hub for all the cutting-edge AI research. This resource would give researchers across the country access to powerful computers, massive data sets, and tools to collaborate. Like, everything they need to push the boundaries of AI and make, like, groundbreaking discoveries.
So it's a shared resource for the whole country to speed up innovation in AI.
Exactly. Like a national lab, but just for AI research.
That's cool. What else do they talk about in terms of building this AI ecosystem?
Well, they get into energy, which is something a lot of people don't think about.
Right, yeah.
All those computers need a lot of energy to run.
Yeah, for sure.
They really emphasize the importance of leading in new energy technologies,
mm-hmm.
including like sustainable sources.
Right.
Like fusion, fission, and all those promising new technologies.
Makes sense. We can't have an AI-powered future without the energy to run it, especially if it's sustainable.
Exactly. They say making sure we have enough energy is absolutely crucial for America to stay on top in AI. And they don't just focus on new technologies. They also want to increase spending on things like power grids and data networks.
Oh, right.
They even talk about a national AI infrastructure highway.
A national AI infrastructure highway. That sounds big. What does that mean?
Imagine a network that connects all the regional power grids and communication networks across the country.
Right.
Designed to handle all the energy and data that AI development needs.
Mm-hmm.
Like creating a really strong backbone for the AI era.
Wow. So it's like building the digital superhighways for the future, right?
Yeah, exactly. It's a massive project. But they also admit that private companies might not be able to pay for all of this on their own.
All right. Yeah.
They suggest using federal money to back up high-value AI projects.
So, like, the government would share some of the risk to make these projects more attractive to investors, combining public and private resources to reach a national goal.
Right. They suggest things like guaranteeing purchases and providing credit enhancements to reduce the risk for private investors. It's a practical way to finance those huge infrastructure projects.
Wow. Okay, so OpenAI has a pretty complete plan for building this AI ecosystem in America. It's ambitious, but it seems like they've thought it through.
Yeah, it's impressive how everything's connected in their approach. They're not just focused on one thing, like just the technology or the economy. They're looking at all the challenges and coming up with a whole set of policy recommendations, from education and research to energy and working with other countries.
It's like they're saying, look, this isn't just about building cool tech. It's about building a future where AI helps everyone, and America needs to lead the way.
And they're not pretending it's easy either. They know there are risks, and we need to keep talking and adapting. They even call this blueprint a living document.
A living document. What does that mean?
Yeah, it means they're open to changing their recommendations as we learn more about AI.
Oh, okay. So it's not like a set of rules. It's more like a starting point for discussion.
Right. They see it as a framework, a way to start the conversation and get things moving. And they're not just talking to, like, the government people. They want everyone involved, like industry leaders, researchers, regular people.
So they want everyone to help shape the future of AI. Wow, this has been really eye-opening. OpenAI's vision is really interesting.
Yeah.
Like a future where AI is woven into everything, you know? It's exciting to think about the possibilities, but it's also like kind of a big responsibility, you know?
I agree. They're making a strong case for America to be the leader in this new era, but they're also saying it's not just about being the best or having the most powerful tech. It's about making sure AI benefits everyone, all of humanity.
So shaping the future of AI in a way that fits with our values, but it's not just up to OpenAI or the government, right? They're saying we all need to work together.
Exactly. It's a group effort.
Wait, hold on. What do you mean we all? Like, what can I do? This all seems so big, you know?
Think about it this way. OpenAI has this vision of the future where AI is part of everything. Healthcare, education, national security, even how well off we are economically. But that future isn't set in stone. It depends on the choices we make today, both as individuals and as a society.
So you're saying that even the little choices we make can affect how AI develops.
Exactly. The question is, what part do you want to play in all of this? What skills will you need to do well in a world powered by AI? How will you help make sure AI is used ethically and benefits everyone? These are things to think about.
Wow, you've given me a lot to think about. It's like OpenAI's blueprint is a call to action, not just for the people in charge, but for all of us.
Exactly. It's a reminder that we all have a role to play in shaping the future of AI.
Well, this has been an amazing deep dive. Thank you so much for explaining all this. It's clear that the future of AI is full of promise and challenges.
And the conversation is just getting started. We need to keep learning, adapting, and talking about these important issues as AI keeps evolving.
Absolutely. Thanks for joining us, everyone. And keep those questions in mind. The future of AI is in our hands.